So let's look at God's Word. This is Exodus chapter 24, we'll be looking at today, verses 1 through 11. If you're using the Pew Bible, it is page 82. With powerful signs and wonders, God has just dramatically delivered Israel out of Egyptian slavery. He's led them to the foot of Mount Sinai, where he spoke to them in the midst of fire and thunder and the sound of trumpets. And as we saw last time, it was so overwhelming that they asked Moses to speak with God for them, which he does, and he brings God's words back to them. Today, as has already been mentioned, we're celebrating the Lord's Supper, and we'll be looking at a passage that I hope will give us some insight into what this meal means. The last time we looked at Exodus 19 and how the people were to prepare themselves to meet with God. In today's passage from Exodus 24, we see that meeting taking place, and it takes place in the context of a meal. So let's hear from God's Word. This is Exodus chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Then he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but the others shall not come near, and the people shall not come up with him." Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules, and all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Today is Communion Sunday, which means we join together in a meal. It's a special meal because it's a meal with God. In it, we are invited to sit at his table and to eat food that he has provided. It's the meal that Jesus first ate with his disciples in the upper room the night of his arrest. It celebrated the start of a new covenant between God and his people. And it's something Jesus calls on us to continue to do, to commemorate that covenant, and to remember what Jesus had to do to make that covenant possible. The passage that we just read from the book of Exodus gives us an account of another meal that happened 1,500 years before Jesus gathered with his disciples in that upper room. It too was a meal commemorating the start of a covenant, a temporary and a provisional covenant that would anticipate a future final and permanent covenant. The covenant at Sinai was intended to be a picture or a shadow, pointing ahead to the real thing that Jesus would later come and establish. So let's look at this passage and ask what it has to say to us today as we come to the Lord's table. There are two things I'd like us to see about the meal that Moses and the elders ate in the presence of God. First, it was a covenant meal. And second, it was a costly meal. So first, a covenant meal. Three times in the verses that we read, there's reference to the words and the laws that God had spoken. In verse 3, Moses tells the words to the people. In verse 4, he writes those words down. And then in verse 7, Moses takes what he had written down and he reads it to the people. And what he reads is called the Book of the Covenant. In response to these words from God, the people of Israel answer with their own words and say, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Here we see God making an offer to Israel to enter into a covenant relationship with him. A covenant is an agreement that involves promises. On the one side, God is promising to be their God, to love them as his people, to make them, as he calls them in chapter 19, his treasured possession. On the other side of this covenant, the people are to pledge their love and their commitment to God. They're to make their promises. And so God sends Moses to the people with the terms of the covenant, with his laws, with his rules. And those are that he alone is to be their God. They're to have no other. They're not to make any idols. They are to honor his name. They're to make the seventh day of the week holy to the Lord. They're to honor parents and those in authority. They are to protect and preserve human life. They are to honor marriage. They are to respect the property and reputation of others. And they're to be content with what God gives to them. And when Moses delivers the message, the people say, "We'll do it. We agree. We accept the terms of your offer." And so you see, when Moses and the elders of Israel sit down to eat this meal with God, this is what they're celebrating. They're celebrating the covenant, this new relationship that has just been formed. Think of this meal as like the reception that takes place after a wedding ceremony. In the ceremony, the bride and groom make their promises to one another. And then comes the celebration of this as family members and friends gather together, celebrating this new relationship with a big party. And what an amazing description this is here. Verse 10 says that they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. What a spectacular sight that must have been. Well, 1,500 years later, less dramatic visually, but no less impressive. 12 disciples in an upper room also sat with God sharing a meal. And they celebrated the inauguration of yet another covenant, a new covenant. A new covenant was needed because the purpose of the old one was to serve only as a temporary placeholder until God was ready to make his real and final covenant with us. This new covenant would contain what the old covenant only pictured. The blood of animal sacrifices of the old covenant, which could not pay the price for sin, would be replaced with the blood of Christ, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That was our meditation verse for this morning. And the cleansing ceremonies of the old covenant, which could not make a heart clean, would be replaced by the Spirit of Christ, who gives us new hearts. Today we come to the Lord's table just as Moses and the elders did, and just as the 12 disciples did. And as we do that, we come to commemorate the same covenant that was prefigured in the old and realized in the new. In this covenant, God commits himself to us to make us. We're sitting here today to make us his treasured possession. He promises to be our God, to be our defender, our helper, our provider. He promises us honor and life and immortality. And we see God's intent to do this confirmed in his meal. We see that in this meal with the elders of Israel. There they were, in the very presence of God himself. They could see him. And yet verse 11 tells us, and this is very important, it tells us that God did not lay his hand on them. When the prophet Isaiah saw his vision of the Lord in the temple, he thought for sure he was going to die. And that's what a sinful human being should expect from God, who says he does not allow the guilty to go unpunished, and who is described in Scripture as a consuming fire. But God doesn't lift his hand against Moses and the 70 elders. Instead, we're told that they saw God and they ate and drank. They had a meal. That's what it says. God welcomes them. He accepts them. He shares a meal with them. Here is a visible and a tangible demonstration of what God intends for those who are his people, for those with whom he is in covenant. And God is saying the same thing to us in this meal that we're about to share in today. Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, does not raise his hand against us. He didn't raise his hand against the 12 disciples who were in his presence. He could have. He had the right to. But that's not why he came. He didn't come to destroy us. He came to enter a covenant with us, to have a relationship with us. That's why the Son of God became a man, to live among us, God with us. If you have any doubt that your God is for you, then look at this meal. If in the midst of all the trouble and the madness of this world, you're wondering where he is, look at this meal. It's his seal. It's his confirmation to you that because of his Son, because of Jesus, he forgives us. He accepts us. He delights in us. He wants to be our God. And God's offer to enter this covenant with him is free, and it's open to all who hear it. If you're not living in covenant with God, then that offer is open to you. But you have to agree to it. You and I must, like the people of Israel, agree to the terms of the covenant and say, all the words the Lord has spoken will do. We agree. Entering into covenant with God means that he's going to become first in your life. It means that you and I have to listen to Jesus and follow him wherever that may take us. It's a big step to trust God in this way, to trust everything in life to him, to trust that he will come through on his promises. But he has given us reason to believe him. And this brings us to the second point, that this meal is a costly meal. According to one list of the most expensive restaurants in the world, the most expensive goes by the name of Sublimotion. It's located in Spain, and you can get a meal there for $1,700 per person. That's a bit of information you can tuck away for when you're thinking about a place to go for Valentine's Day, maybe, I don't know. If someone took you there and paid for your meal, that would tell you something about how they valued you, and how important you were to them. It's not the only thing that would say that, but it would say something. And that the same is true for the meal that took place at Mount Sinai. It also was a costly meal, but for different reasons. It was costly because it required sacrifice, required the loss of life, the shedding of blood. Verses 4 to 6 tell us that Moses built an altar at which he offered burnt offerings and fellowship, or sometimes they're called peace offerings. The burnt offering was a sacrifice that was entirely consumed by fire, so that there would be nothing left. It was an offering that was entirely dedicated to God. The fellowship, or the peace offering, was different. It was something that was shared by the worshipers. It was a meal that a worshiper and his family could eat in the presence of the Lord. Verse 8 tells us that when Moses sprinkled the blood of the sacrifices, he said, "This is the blood of the covenant." Now, when Jesus took the cup of wine during the meal with his disciples, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for many for the forgiveness of sins." The cost of the meal on Sinai was the blood of animals. The cost of the meal that that we eat today is the blood of the Son of God. Jesus offered up his life to pay for the meal that we're about to eat. That's how costly it was. That's how costly it is. That's what he was willing to pay for you and for me. That's how much he values us. That's how much he wants us to sit with him at his table. What would you pay to have a meal with God? $1,700? $1 billion? Even if we had it to pay, no amount of money would be enough. Nothing we could accomplish or accumulate would ever be enough. There's only one price that's sufficient. There's only one way to pay for it, and Jesus did it. He paid for our privilege to sit at this table today. He paid for it with his own life, with his blood. Now, who would do that? Who would do that? What more confirmation do we need that he treasures us and wants us for his people? That he wants to be in covenant with us and that he will fulfill the covenant promises that he makes to us. He's given us a guarantee. If there's any doubt, then this meal confirms and assures to us that all who agree to covenant with God, all who agree to follow his Son, will be forgiven their sins, will be welcomed by God, and will be given a place at his table forever. This supper confirms that there will be a day when we will see God in all of his glory, in the beauty of his holiness, and we'll see him and live. To all of us who come to him, Jesus, the Son of God, does not raise his hand against us or turn us away. Instead, he offers us bread and says, "Take and eat." And he extends a cup and he invites us to drink. Come to Jesus, accept his gracious offer to covenant with him, and then join with him at his table in joyful celebration. A celebration that begins now and will continue for an eternity. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we are so grateful for your love for us. It is beyond our imagination that you would send your only Son for us to give his life as a sacrifice for sinners, sinners worthy of your condemnation, worthy of your rejection, worthy to be kept only at arm's length. Yet you would have invited us into your very presence and to enjoy a meal with you. O Lord our God, impress this upon us. We pray that we would be mindful of it always as we live out the moments of our days, of how great your love is, of how great our calling is to live as people who are in covenant with the God of all creation, the living God, a God who loves and who even extends that love to sinners. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Son. We pray in his name. Amen.